Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Acts chapter 17, then, turning our attention that direction, Acts chapter 17. Two things simply tonight, all right? Two things simply. And as we turn our attention this way, I want to be incredibly helpful to where we are as a church with in regards to all that we have happening at this very busy season. So I want to take a few minutes this evening and help you understand with what it is exactly that we're anticipating the Lord to do in a variety of ways. But before we turn our attention that way, I want to just look here. The first four verses of Acts chapter 17, they give us a lot of wonderful instruction. Two really very simple ideas. Number one, the predictability of ministry, and number two, the point of his message. So I'm going to talk to you about these two ideas tonight. The predictability of ministry, and then number two, the point of his message. Notice number one, the predictability of the Apostle Paul's ministry. You see at the end, and they came to Thessalonica, verse 1, and they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was. And Paul, as his manner was. This idea of his manner, it's another idea, as his custom. Sometimes it's referred to that way in the Bible. As his custom was. Or you might understand it as his habit was. Man, Paul, when he showed up at Thessalonica, there was something very predictable about his approach to ministry. There was something very consistent about his approach to ministry. There was something very habitual about his approach to ministry. How many of you be honest tonight? You say, Pastor, I am a creature of habit. Let me see. Raise your hand. You say, I'm a creature of habit. I want to be in bed at a certain time. I have a certain amount of shows I watch. I got a certain thing I do on Monday. I got a certain thing I do on Tuesday, right? How many of you are creatures of habit, right? Man, I take my wife to the ice cream store, and it doesn't matter what it is. Cold Stones, it could be Baskin-Robbins, it doesn't matter what it is. We can take her to the ice cream store. She's a creature of habit. It doesn't matter. They can have 32 flavors. They can have 3,200 flavors. She's a creature of habit. She's getting mint chocolate chip ice cream every time. Every time. And you know, she'll do this. She'll go, oh, maybe I'll try something new. Oh, let me test that one, you know. And she'll test this one. And I'm waiting patiently. Cookies and cream only for me. I'm waiting patiently. Cookies and cream, I'm eating it. Oh, let me test that one. Oh, she tests all 32 flavors. Let me have mint chocolate chip ice cream, right? And I got to tell her, I'm like, I know what you're going to get. Like, why do you even test all the flavors? She's going to never know. I might get something different one time. Eventually. No, you won't, right? It's never going to happen. Mint chocolate chip ice cream every time, right? Creatures of habit. Man, we are all creatures of habit. Most of our habits, bad habits. Man, we're all creatures of habit. Most of the habits that we have are bad habits. None of us, and we've said this before, none of us drift in godly directions. Like, to move in godliness, to move toward Christ, to move toward the things of the Bible, the things of the Word, to do that takes intentionality, it takes determination, it takes predetermination in some sense, right? We have to make conscious, fore-decided decisions, ahead of time decided decisions in order to make the right response in the right time. Why? Because we are creatures of habit. Paul, as his manner was. Man, the Apostle Paul talked about this already, right? In the book of Romans, to the Jew first. You want to know what my ministry was? It was to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Man, it was to the Jew first. Anytime the Apostle Paul walked into town, the first thing he did was went to the synagogue. Anytime the Apostle Paul pulled into town, the first place he went was to the synagogue from the very beginning in Acts chapter number 9. All right, go there. I want you to see it. Acts chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul's conversion, Acts chapter 9, verse number 20. Acts chapter 9, verse number 20. And straightway he preached Christ. Say the next three words. Ready? In the synagogues. Man, the Apostle Paul has just been converted. He's just now received his eyesight. He's been filled with the Spirit. His ministry is beginning. And the first thing he does, and straightway, right away, immediately, that's what that word straightway means. And immediately, right away, without hesitation, man, the Apostle Paul went right into the synagogue. And there in the synagogue, he preached Christ. We've seen this in his first and even now his second missionary journey. But Acts chapter 13, verse number 14. Acts chapter 13, verse number 14. Walk that direction. We're moving back now to Acts 17. Acts chapter 13, verse number 14. Are you there? All right, verse number 14. And when they departed from Perga, and they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the, what is it? Synagogue. They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Man, the Apostle Paul, his ministry had a certain pattern. His ministry had a certain habit. Look at Acts chapter 14, moving now. Keep walking toward chapter 17. Man, Acts chapter 14, verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that when they were together, what's the next three words? Into the
synagogue
of the Jews. Man, the Apostle Paul's ministry had a habit. What was his habit? His habit, his predictability, right, the consistency of his ministry was that when he pulled into town, he went into the church. Man, here he comes into Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, verse 2, and Paul, verse 17, or chapter 17, and Paul, as his manner was, he went in unto them. And for three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Jews, great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. I love that phrase right there, right? You want a definition of Facebook? That right there. Like lewd fellows of the baser sort, right? We're not going to talk about that tonight. That's next week. So now you have a warning. Don't come back next Sunday night if you don't want to hear about that. And what do we see? We see, man, Paul goes into town. He goes right to the synagogue. He begins to preach as his manner was, as his custom was, as it was so predictable in the Apostle Paul's ministry. This was his habit. His habit to go right to the church and to begin to preach Christ. Some believed, some were encouraged, some were blessed, some attacked. This is it. I mean, you want to basically a snapshot of every place that the Apostle Paul went. This is a snapshot right here. Man, he went to town. Man, it's Iconium, it's Lystra, it's Antioch, it's Perga, it's Paphos, wherever he goes into town, he looks for the synagogue, he goes right to the synagogue, this is his habit, he preaches Christ, him crucified, buried, and risen again from the grave. Some believe, some are encouraged, man, and then there are lewd fellows of the baser sort who attack. Man, there's a predictability of Paul's ministry. Man, these fellows, these lewd fellows of the baser sort. Isn't that just a fun thing to say? You should just say it this evening on the way home. Lewd fellows of the baser. Like you need an English accent when you say that, like sip tea. Lewd fellows of the baser sort, right? And all, man, they run him out of town. Man, they run him out of town. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. No longer with the English accent. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. What do you think he did when he got to Berea? Man, who coming thither went into the, what is it?
Synagogue.
He went into the synagogue. Hey, listen, we need godly habits in our lives. We need to create godly habits in our lives. Jesus, as the end of his ministry is approaching, in Luke chapter number 22, they say about Jesus that you can find him teaching in the synagogue as he was wont to do. What is that talking about, man? This was his passion. This was his desire. This is what his ministry centered around. The same is true of the Apostle Paul. There was a predictability of the Apostle Paul's ministry. Hey, let me ask you a question. What are the godly habits in your life? What are the godly habits in your life? Like, we're creatures of habit. I'm always going to get mint chocolate chip ice cream. Creatures of habit. And yet Paul's habit, man, he was going to the church as his manner was. Verse 2, as his manner was. Man, don't you know the Apostle Paul talks about those who have certain habits, those who have certain predictability, those who have certain customs, those who have certain manners. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Man, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because there are some people who this is the habit they have. This is the custom that they have. This is the predictability of which they serve. This is the predictability of which they minister. Man, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is something that we have to choose, decide, make it a habit to not do. And I understand tonight, I'm talking to Sunday night crowd, right? You're going, Pastor, if you want to talk about habits of church attendance, that's a good thing to talk about on Sunday morning, right? And yet, how many times even the Sunday night crowd, man, we can drift, bad habits, getting away from church, bad habits, not reading the Bible, bad habits, not creating godly habits, falling into bad habits as the manner, as the custom, as our habits are. We're creatures of habits. It's going to be difficult in your life and in my life. It's going to be difficult to develop a consistent walk with God unless we create good habits. Man, it's difficult to develop a consistent walk with God unless we create bad habits. No. Said that wrong. Good habits. It's going to be, I got to correct myself. It's going to be difficult to develop a consistent walk with God unless we have, you know it, good habits. Not bad ones, good habits. Good habits. Man, sometimes we'll say, you know what, I read my Bible just, you know, when I get time. You know, I'll spend time in prayer when I have the time. I'll get to church, you know, I'm busy right now. I mean, I'll get to church when I'm not so busy, when I have the time. How many of you know, man, you'll never have the time? You'll never have the time. Man, if you're waiting to read your Bible till you have the time, you'll never have time. If you're waiting to go to the church till you have time, man, you're never going to have the time. Man, you have to create, carve out, make godly habits. I mean, this is referred to in the Bible and also in early church history as just spiritual disciplines, right? It's not a comfortable word in today's version of Christianity, right? Spiritual discipline. We don't like the idea of discipline. Man, but spiritual disciplines, what are the spiritual disciplines? Man, Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, tithing, man, fasting. The spiritual disciplines. Man, if we aren't creating those, carving them out, making space for them, man, they won't happen. And they won't happen. We don't drift in godly directions. None of us drift in Christ's likeness, right? Man, this is something that we have to walk toward. This is something we have to move in. This is the language of the Bible, man. This is spiritual warfare, right? How many of you know that's supposed to say this? Spiritual warfare. But why does he use the image of spiritual warfare? If it's just natural, I got saved, so now I just want to do everything that Jesus wants me to do. It's just like, I wake up, no more bad desires, only good desires. And that's not the way it is. It's a warfare. Man, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness. Man, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but listen, if we don't create good habits with our flesh and blood, that wrestling is a lot more difficult. Exactly. That wrestling is a lot more difficult. And creating good habits, hey, if you are waiting, if you're waiting until you have the time, you'll never have the time. If you're waiting to have the time, you'll never have the time. And so here's what I'm telling you. Like, we have to make these things a priority. We talked about that this morning. We have to make these things a priority in our life for there to be any consistency, for there to be any consistent growth in our lives. Hey, listen, church attendance isn't an issue when someone's having a problem, right? When things are going bad, church attendance isn't an issue. When the bottom's falling out, prayer life, that's not an issue. You know, when the bills are stacking up and the relationship's on edge and, man, it's shaky water and, man, it's cold nights and, man, there's no friends. Man, that's most of the time when somebody comes looking. Man, they come looking for it. Man, I'll be in church. I'm going to be in Sunday school. I'm going to even be there 5 minutes early. Go figure. We can get there early? What? No way. I promise you, you can get here 5 minutes early. You'll be the only one, but you can get here 5 minutes early. Man, when things are going difficult, man, everybody's running to Jesus then. Man, when there's problems, everybody's moving to Jesus then. Listen, the question isn't when life is difficult, man, get good habits then. No, you're going to develop your habits now. Man, you're going to develop your habits now. Developing our habits now, man, that provides us the consistency that we need. Man, developing good spiritual disciplines in our life now, man, creating those good spiritual disciplines in our life now, those are the habits. That's the predictability of the Apostle Paul's ministry. Man, Luke chapter 4, speaking of Jesus, as his custom was. John chapter 18, they're asking Jesus about his disciples. They're asking Jesus about the doctrine that he was teaching. And Jesus says this. He says, I was ever in the synagogue teaching. You want to know what I believe? You want to know what I teach? You want to bring me here and put me on this mock trial? Was I not ever in the synagogue teaching? What was Jesus' habit? What was Jesus' custom? What was Jesus' manner? What was the predictability about Jesus' ministry? Man, just like the Apostle Paul, man, as his manner was, as his habits were, what are the godly habits that you have in your life? Hey, let me tell you, church attendance ought to be a godly habit. Church attendance ought to be a godly habit. And it's a difficult habit. It's a difficult habit. Man, but do you know how often we have church? Like when you say church attendance, Pastor, that's every week. Yes, I understand that. Every week. Sunday morning. Man, it's Sunday night. Look, these are the good spiritual people here tonight, right? So the good Christians, we're all earning extra points. No, that's not how it is. That's not how it goes. Man, but how many of you know I need that extra encouragement from the Word? Man, middle of the week, long week, lots of problems, work. Man, I need that. I need that pick me up in the middle of the week. Good habits. Sunday school class, good habit. Sunday school class, good habit. Man, that small group, that small connection, good habit. Good habit. Well, is it going to get me into heaven or not? No, it's just a good habit that'll help you grow in your Christian life. Right. Yeah, but is Jesus going to get me with a lightning bolt if I don't go? No, he won't. He won't strike you with a lightning bolt if you don't go. We'd lose 90% of the church if that were the case. He won't do that. But if you don't go to Sunday school, tithe is 20%. No, I'm just teasing. That's not how it is. But it's a good habit. It's a good habit. Why is it a good habit? Man, it's a good habit for consistent growth in our lives. I mean, good habit for consistent growth. Man, the predictability of Paul's ministry. Look, the point of his message. Number two, the point of his message. The predictability. Man, the predictability. He went into the synagogue. Man, the point of his message, the Apostle Paul is constantly preaching Christ and him crucified. He's constantly preaching the scriptures. Look at verse 2. Man, Paul, as his habit were, the predictability that he had, he went in unto them, and in three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. A couple things about his sermon. A couple things about the point of his sermon. Notice, first of all, the style. Oh, the style of the sermon. Man, we are stylistic people, aren't we? We like the style, the charisma, the flash, the presentation, right? The illustration, right? Just so you know, the clock this morning was an illustration, right? We're not implementing a clock on the preaching. Like I had somebody at the back go, "That clock isn't going to be there next week, is it? I don't like them doing that to you, Pastor." I'm like, "I know, they always do this to me. They try to put me on the clock, but they can't keep a good man down. Don't worry. I preach much longer than 30 minutes, okay?" The style, man, we get hung up on the style. Look at Paul's style. Like, just circle the words. Circle the words. Look at verse 2. Man, he reasoned. He reasoned. Man, he was asking and answering questions. And they were asking and they were answering questions. Man, even the one passage, he went into the synagogue. Man, he sat down. Man, he wasn't standing over them, wasn't lording over them, wasn't dictating over them, wasn't commanding them. He went into the synagogue, he sat down and reasoned with them. Man, here, he goes into the synagogue and for 3 days he reasoned with them. Man, what was Paul's preaching style like? There was some reasoning. There was question and answer. I'm really excited about this in December on one of the Wednesday nights. I don't know. These guys will have to tell you which Wednesday. But we're doing a question and answer, right? Questions about faith in God. And I want you to get your best question ready, and I want you to come, okay? I want you to get your best question, and I want you to email. They'll tell you all how to get it to us. And Brother Derek and myself and Brother Raphael, we're going to take the evening and we're going to try to answer the tough questions. Just take a Wednesday night, and we'll step away from the Psalms and we're going to do a question and answer session. And what we hope that first, those of you who have questions about God, about faith, not about church practices, Pastor, why is the carpet blue? I'm not going to answer that question, okay? The carpet's blue because it is. That's all I can tell you, you know? But questions about God and faith, first of all, if that's where you're at, you're like, "I've always had this question. No one's ever answered it." And turn it in. I'm not saying I got the answer. I'm saying we'll try to find the answer. Just a casual evening, reasoning together what the scriptures say. First of all, if you have a question, you're like, "I like an answer on that. I want to get you an answer." Number two, because I know you have friends who have questions. And I want the evening to be an opportunity for you to invite a friend who has a question. Right? And what we're going to do is we're going to let the questions dictate the conversation. And whatever the questions are, we'll take the questions in turn and we'll answer them as best we can according to the scriptures. When is that coming up? When is that day? The what? The 6th, December the 6th. Mark your calendar, December the 6th. And be here that night and bring a friend with some questions. We say, well, is that what we're going to do now? We're not going to have any more preaching? We're just going to do some reasoning? We're just going to do what they did in the book of Acts. We're going to reason together sometimes. Man, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Man, there's a time where we're just going to answer some questions, some long-awaited questions. People have got some questions, and we want to answer them as best we can according to the scriptures. What was Paul's style? Man, there was reason. What was Paul's style? Look at verse 3. Opening. Opening. The word opening means to give clarity, to turn on the light, to shed light. If you look up the word opening, Strong's Concordance, it'll tell you that. To turn on the light, to open the light, to shine a light. That's what that is. He's opening the word of God. He's opening the scriptures. Man, that's what we do. That's what we did this morning in Matthew chapter 17. It's what we attempted to do this morning in Matthew 16. It's what we attempt to do in Wednesday night with Psalms. Man, we just want to open the door. We want to turn on the light. We want to shine a light. Man, opening the scriptures, taking people to the text, showing them things out of the text. Brother Pope said, I used it this morning, any text out of context is a pretext. Man, any text out of context is a pretext. Man, how many of you know everybody has a Bible verse for anything? Man, they come up with a Bible verse for anything. You ever had somebody at your door? Well, the Bible says this, and you're like, it does say that? I didn't know the Bible said that, because that's not what we believe, you know? Right, man, we can find a Bible verse. Man, but what we want to do is we want to open the scriptures. We want to shine a light on the whole message. Paul, what was his style? He reasoned. Man, Paul, what was his style? He opened. What was his style? Look at verse number 3. Opening. You're ahead of me already, aren't you? What's the next word? And alleging. Man, alleging. Man, Paul, I'm alleging. What was he alleging? Alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. What was his style? Reasoning, opening, alleging. What was his style? Man, look at the end of verse 3. Preach. Preaching. And that's a very specific word in the Bible. That's the word meaning to announce, to declare, to proclaim, to preach. Man, by the foolishness of preaching. Man, it's the foolishness of preaching. Are you telling me we're going to go listen to a guy talk for 45 minutes? That's what you want me to do with you on the weekend? Yes, come to my church, right? He said, well, that's crazy. Yeah, but by the foolishness of preaching, man, the wise are confounded. Man, by the foolishness, this is the method that God has chosen to bless and use. This was the style that the Apostle Paul used. He reasoned. You circle that word? He reasoned. He opened. He's alleging. He's preaching. Man, go with me. 2 Thessalonians. I want you to see it. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians tonight. Where's the Apostle Paul at on this second missionary journey? Where is he at? What's the city? Say it out loud. He's in Thessalonica. Man, he's writing to the Thessalonians. Where are the Thessalonians from? They're from the church at Thessalonica. Man, how does the Apostle Paul describe his own preaching? How does the Apostle Paul describe his own ministering? 1 Thessalonians, I'll tell you second, I meant first. 1 Thessalonians. Man, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 11. There's not a chapter 11. So if you're looking for that, you're going to be looking for a while. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And as ye know, how we, what's the word? Exhorted. Man, that word exhorted. Bringing them to a place of decision. What was the Apostle Paul's preaching style like? Man, the Apostle Paul said, we were exhorting, we were preaching, we were alleging, we were opening, we were reasoning, we were preaching. How many of you start to think the Apostle Paul had a lot of different styles? Me and Joanna and Miss Shirley and Michael. Okay, four of us think that. Okay, well, let me show you some more because we could have stopped there, but you don't think he had a lot of styles, so we're going to keep showing you. Verse 11, and as ye know, verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and, what's the next word? Comforted. Man, comfort, to hold someone up, to let someone lean on you, to gain strength from someone else. Man, what was his style? Exhorted. What was his style? He comforted. Look at the next word. And charged. And charged. Man, he's charging them. Do this, man. He's calling them, not just to a place of decision, not just saying, listen, this is the decision you need to make. Have godly habits in your life. Make the decision to have God. No, charging. I'm saying you have a godly habit in your life. Charging them directly, personally. Charging. Man, he's exhorting. He's comforting. He's charging. Go back over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 now. Man, look what he does the rest of his journey. Acts chapter 17. Now he's in Berea. Then he goes to Athens. Look at verse number 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the, what is it? Synagogue. Man, that was his habit. That was his custom. This was predictable. But what's he doing now? Is he charging? No. And is he exhorting? No. Is he comforting those in Athens? Oh, it's okay. We all have a lot of gods. Let's just... No, no, no. What's he doing now? He's disputing. Disputing. That literally means to debate, to refute, to redirect what another person is saying. The Apostle Paul says, man, he was disputing. Debuting too. I suppose he could have been doing that. Disputing. Man, look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, are you starting to get the point? How many of you think the Apostle Paul had one style? Yeah, no one. How many think the Apostle Paul had lots of styles? Yeah, me too. You're getting there. That was almost full participation. And since it wasn't full participation on the hand raise, I'm going to show you some more. Verse number 20, you're going to learn. You're going to participate, or we're going to keep going. Verse number 20 of chapter 20. Man, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you. What's his style? Showing. Man, and have taught you publicly. What's his style? Teaching. Man, you can go to Colossians. In Colossians, he says he's warning the church. In Acts 28, verse 23, he says we were expounding. Acts 28, 23, we were testifying. Acts 28, 23, we were persuading. Okay, let's review. What was his style? He's persuading. What's the Apostle Paul's style? Man, teaching, testifying, expounding, warning, showing, disputing, charging, comforting, exhorting, preaching, alleging, opening, reasoning. What is that, like 16, 17 styles? How many of the Apostle Paul think? How many of you think he had one style? No. How many of you think he had lots of styles? That wasn't 100%, but it'll do. It'll do. We might be here all night, plus I'm out of styles. Man, a lot of times we get stuck in a style. Man, a lot of times we get stuck in a style. Man, the problem is that, man, we start getting stuck. Here's the problem. The problem with getting stuck in a style is thinking that that's the only style God will use. That's the only way God can do it. This is the only style. That's the only method. That's the only way that God can. If you don't have a three-point alliterated sermon, well, then it wasn't a sermon. And we can get stuck in a style. And a lot of times, that's just because of the paradigm we have. Man, we start to think other styles are wrong. The Apostle Paul, 17 different styles, different style every place he went. Man, I'm thankful that God used the likes of Billy Sunday. Man, a man on fire, they said, when he'd preach. Billy Sunday was known for all of his karate poses. When he'd preach, he'd stand on top of the chair sometimes. He would like lean on, like his most famous pose is like, wah-yah, you know, whatever he was doing with that. I can't make those poses anymore. I got a bad back, so I can't do that sort of stuff, right? Man, God used somebody like Billy Sunday, lots of styles, lots of flamboyancy. He wore these all-white suits, and man, he pulled in with like convertibles back in the day when like no one had a convertible, except like the politicians. I mean, lots of style, man, but God used the likes of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He read his text in a monotone voice. In a monotone voice. Man, without the aid of amplification and PA and those things, he just read, man, and God used Jonathan Edwards. So what is it, Pastor? Is it monotone voice? You got to read your text, you got to read your sermon. Or is it Billy Sunday flamboyant, bright suit, man, lots of humor, flamboyant, lots of cool poses. What is it? What is it? Man, listen, God doesn't think as stylistically as we do. Man, we're the ones who get caught up on style. Man, God isn't. Man, God isn't. And most complaints in the church, more about style, less about substance. You ever notice that? Man, more about style. What? It's not my style. It's not my way. That's not the paradigm that I have. Man, more about style, less about substance. Less about substance. The Apostle Paul, 16 different styles, 16 different ways, 16 different ways. But man, his the predictability of his habits, good godly habits, spiritual discipline. But what was his style? Man, 16 different style every way. And to the Jew, man, I became a Jew. Man, and to the Greek, a Greek, and to the Scythian, a Scythian, and to the barbarian, man, a barbarian, so that Christ might be preached. That's why. Man, let's get hung up. Hey, let's not get hung up on critiquing someone's style. Hey, let's not get hung up on critiquing someone else's style. Yeah, well, God can't use that style. Man, tell the Apostle Paul that.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Tell the Apostle Paul that God can't use a different style. Man, 17 different styles, 16 different styles. We could have found more, but I felt like at that point I would have full participation in the audience, and I didn't get that way, but it's okay, all right? Man, what was the style? And the style varied. But what was the substance? Look at verse 2, Acts chapter 17, look at verse 2. The style varied, but what was the substance? Man, the substance of his sermon. And he reasoned with them out of the, what's the word? The scriptures. Man, at times, Paul's style varied, but his substance never varied. Hey, at times, his style varied, but his substance, listen, church, his substance never varied. You can check his sermons. Go back. They're on record for us. Go check his sermons. His style changes here. His style changes there. 16 different styles, 16 different ways that he's trying to reach the people that he's teaching to. But the substance is the same. He's preaching the word, teaching the word, sharing the word, quoting the word, alluding to the word. Man, biblically based sermons. Next chapter, next verse. Next chapter, next verse. Man, the style changes. The substance never changes. Man, we got these. Do our men in the back have these right here? You gentlemen have these? Let's get them. I'm missing a few ushers over on this side. I think it was Brother Sal. He must have slipped out to get a smoke break. That's his style. It's his style, so it's okay. All right, let's get it. Yeah, thank you. Let's all grab a couple of these, and I want everybody to get one in just a minute. Man, we have a variety of connection groups, variety of styles. You say, okay, Pastor, new styles, new connection groups, but what are the classes going to be about? I'm going to tell you what they're going to be about. They're going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're going to be about. The substance to say, what are they going to teach the men? Men, the Word of God. What are they going to teach in the ladies' class? The Word of God. What are they going to teach in the couples' class? They're going to teach the Word of God. The Word of God. But listen, we're all in different places at different times, different seasons of our life. And so we've reorganized this. This is something that's been in the making for now a few months. I've shared it with those on our leadership team. I've shared it with our deacons a few months back about how I really felt the need that we needed a reorganization of our Sunday school classes. And I shared this with my class this morning. I feel the worst for the folks that come to my class, even though they would say that you shouldn't feel bad for them. But I feel the worst for the folks that come to my class because they listen to me for an hour in Sunday school, and then they turn around and they got to listen to me for an hour in church, right? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I have that much good stuff to say. 2 hours worth of listening to me, that'll get you really tired really fast. The style is not that good and not that varied, right? But what we've done is we've tried to minister and try to set up a format where we can minister to the body as a whole. Okay, I'm going to share this with you. Then I'm going to pass these out. Then I'm going to exhort you. Okay. Here it is. Elmer Towns said the Sunday school is the church organized. The Sunday school is the church organized. Here's what I know. If all any of us get, and myself included, if all any of us get is 45 minutes of preaching on a Sunday morning, that's not enough to grow. That's not enough. Like, I need more than that. You need more than that. We all need more than that. We need more than just 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. And yet a lot of times, the 11 o'clock service, man, that's the front door of the church, right? That's the service that most visitors come to. Man, but you and I both know, man, the Sunday school class, or what we're calling connection groups, the connection groups, man, this is the way, not just that we attend church, but this is the way that we do church. Right? That we are the church. So if all you're doing is coming and you're sitting in a room, 500 people this morning in the service, and you're sitting here, and you've been there, I've been there, 500 people in the room, and I feel like I'm the only one, right? You can feel disconnected, and you can feel like you don't know anybody, and you can feel like no one knows my struggle or my problem or this issue or that issue. I don't have anyone to confide in. I don't have anyone speaking life into me, and I don't have that opportunity to speak life into them. I don't know their kids' names. They don't know my kids' names. I don't go to their games. They don't go to my games, right? And we can come, and if we're not careful, man, just coming to church and just sitting, man, we start to sit. We start to soak. We start to sour really fast. And all of a sudden, our Christian growth becomes very stale. And we become stagnant in our growth. Man, and one of the ways, one of the gifts to the church, man, the Sunday school class, the connection groups, man, a way to connect with a smaller part of the body, a way to connect with people in a similar life stage and in a similar life state, in a similar life place, okay? So here's what we've done, right? The boys and girls classes, they have to go where we tell them to go. right? You're two, you go to the two-year-old nursery, right? You don't get a choice. Oh, you're in the fourth grade, you go to the fourth grade class. You don't get a choice, right? That's what we do. You're adults, and so we want to give you the perception of choice. It's the perception of choice, because, I mean, really, in the end, we still can tell you which one you have to go to. It's the perception of choice, right? And that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to arrange the classes in a way, honestly, in all sincerity, we've tried to arrange the classes in a way that minister to the needs of the church body. Okay, so that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to break up the classes in a way that minister to the needs of the church body. And really, when we say it's a reorganization of the Sunday school, it isn't really that. What we really have done is we've taken two classes. We've taken Brother Taylor's class, and we've taken my class. Really, we've taken those two classes, and from those classes, we kind of divided out three different classes as a way to minister to the needs of our church. All the other classes, we've kind of really left the same. And so all, what we're calling the specialty classes, classes for the deaf or classes for special language groups, all those classes we're leaving the same exactly how we have them right now, right? Because they're ministering to a segment of our church and a part of the congregation, a part of the body that needs to be ministered to. Man, but as a whole, what we did is we sat down as a leadership team and we said, how can we do this better, right? So my class right now is referred to as the home builders class, and here's what it says, there's a tagline, the home builders class, the married coupled class. How many of you want to guess how many married couples I have in my class, right? How many of you want to guess how many not married couples I have in my class? It's a lot more not married than married, right? So now I'm trying to deal with subjects or conversations that are about marriage, right? And I'm looking at my class, and I'm like, half these people aren't even married, you know? So I'm talking about how to be a good husband and wife, and it's weird because they're not a husband or wife, right? So then I'm like, well, if you're not a husband, you know, you can, like, maybe, you know, just be nice to your neighbor. Okay, have a good day, you know? And they aren't getting fed, right? They aren't getting fed that practical application, that practical life stage. So here's what we're doing. All right, we're doing these connection groups. And here's what I want. This is why I didn't ask them to pass anything out, because I know how you are. Two things. If I give you something to read and then tell you about it, you won't listen, you'll just read. And I wanted you to listen. Number two, the capital B in Baptist stands for be always against change, always. Okay? Be always against change, always. And before you just decide, I'm against this idea of connection. Before you just decide you're against it, I wanted to help you understand it. So now that you're like, oh, that's actually a really good idea, because that's what you're thinking. Okay. Class participation here. You're not fast learners, I'm telling you. Let's open the Bible, man. Okay. So before you decide, hey, I'm just against that idea. I wanted to explain it so that way you understood my heart in it. Okay. You say, well, how long are we going to do these connection groups? And we're going to do it for like 5 years. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to change it, right? And we're going to do that for 5 years. And then we're going to change it. And then we're all going to get old and retired and cranky. And we'll complain about everybody else changing all the stuff that we used to do. That's how you grow as a Baptist, okay? But this is the idea. The idea is I wanted you to understand my heart behind it. And then number three is what I want. I want every person in this room. Okay, not the boys and girls. They're going wherever we tell them to go. I want every person in this room, single, married, couples, young couples, older couples, doesn't matter. I want every person in this room to sign up to be in the class. You say, well, I teach in that hour. Okay, that's fine. But we still want to enlist you in the class, and we want you to be in the class. Brother Jeff pointed this out to me. We had a great conversation a few weeks ago. And he said, can we, him and his wife serve at the Sunday school hour, and they have for forever, you know. And he said, we really miss that fellowship because, you know, we want to serve the Lord. We're in a Sunday school class and we teach the boys and girls, but we're not in a couples class and we miss out on that fellowship with the couples. Can we be in a class? And his phrase was, can we be in a class by proxy? And I said, yes, that's exactly what we want. So even if you are teaching at the 10 o'clock hour, I still want you to sign up for the class. right? Because what we're going to do is we're going to take your information, the class you signed up for, we're going to make you a member of that Sunday school class. So whenever that Sunday school class has a gathering, whenever that Sunday school class has an activity, whenever that class does something, you're invited to it, you're a part of it, just like the regular attenders in that class, right? And we also want to do that because we want to be sensitive to the needs of the church family. Like I was talking to Brother Taylor. Brother Taylor is not going to be teaching the older adults class. We actually asked him first, and he said, "Pastor, I don't want to do it. I'm against change always." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Pastor, you know, honestly, I'd like to go to a class for a little while. I've taught a class for, I think he said, 16 years. He said, and I was supposed to be a substitute fill-in, and now 16 years later, I'm still the substitute fill-in, right?" How many of you know that's how we get anybody to do anything in a Baptist church? We tell you, you're a substitute for the next 20 years, okay? 20-year substitute, and then we'll let you off your substitute, right? No, that's not what we do. But listen, I want to be sensitive to the needs of the church ministry. And so that's part of what this is. Part of this is for the last year and a half, sitting down with you, having you to my house, going to fellowships, having meetings, listening to the needs and saying, listen, this is what our church needs. This is what you need. This is what I need. Sunday school happens at 10 o'clock. Right here. You don't even have to go to a different location. It's in the same place. You're already coming at 11. Just come an hour earlier. Your Sunday school class, your teacher, is going to have donuts and coffee and waffles and pancakes and blueberry muffins. And that's a slight embellishment, but they're going to have something for you. It's a substitution. It's okay. They're going to have something. And you know what? You're going to sit in a small group setting. You're going to see people at a similar life stage, similar life place as you are, and you're going to get help. And you get practical help for your marriage. You're going to get practical help for your job. You're going to get practical help for the finances. You're going to get practical help for raising your children. You're going to get practical help. Three ideas I want to point out to you. Three ideas. First of all, the class I'm most excited about, the class I'm most excited about is I'm really excited about the class that Brother Fletcher and Miss Shalane are teaching, the young married class, ages 35 and under, young married class, age 35 and under. I'm so excited about this class. I think this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful tool for the young married couples in our church to get off onto a right start, to learn how to prioritize certain things in life. We had to twist Brother Fletcher's arm to do the class, but don't worry, Miss Shalane is going to be preaching. She'll do a wonderful job. Fletcher is just there to provide dessert from Portos, right? Is that what you said? No, okay. I'm really excited about that class, okay? And I told somebody at the back door this morning, they said, "What class should we sign up for?" I said, "Sign up for Brother Fletcher's class. I'm telling you, you're going to get a lot of help in that class. It's going to be a great, great class." I'm really excited about that. I'm also really excited about the, let me find it here for a second. They got all these fancy names for classes, and I can't, Forever One, right? The class that the Bruins are teaching. And many of you know that the Bruins have taught the boys and girls classes for a long time. I think, Brother DeBruin, you started off as a substitute in the, no. Okay, but they've been teaching the class for a long time, and he came, he sat down with Michael, and just basically kind of told him his heart. He said, "You know, I feel like I really enjoy my class, but I feel like, you know, the Lord would want me to do something different." And him and his wife started coming to my class for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And 2 or 3 weeks after being in my class, they approached me after the service, and they just said, "You know, Pastor, we stopped teaching." And immediately I was thinking, "Oh, great, here we go. You know, stop teaching. Now, you know, we're going to start looking for something different." You know, but he said, "But my heart is I want to serve our church. I love what God's doing in our church. And I just don't feel like I'm best fit in this area, the kids class. I feel like God could use me someplace else. Anything you would want me to do, I would love to be a part in the adult Sunday school department." And I just said, wonderful. I know just the class for you. And you'll just have to be a substitute just for a few weeks till we find a teacher." I didn't say that. I said, "Man, listen, here's what we have, right? We have this great class that I'm really excited about, 45 and up, the 45s. And up, right? Everyone who's, they're cranky with each other now, right? You know what I mean? Like, they're just, how do we deal with the crankiness that we've now have? Because we've been married for 30 years and we sleep in different beds. We eat at different times. No, I'm just teasing. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful class. And I'm so thankful to the DeBruins. I'm so thankful to Brother Fletcher and Ms. Shalane for taking these opportunities to teach. I'll be teaching that middle age range. I'm teaching the couples that are 30 to 50 years. Hey, listen, these are the ages or age recommendations. I was told, I think I'm not for sure who told me this, but one of the men told me, like, Brother Allen used to make sure everybody went to the exact class that they were supposed to, like police escort. You know, you're not in this class. We're not doing that, right? You can try whatever class you want to try, right? If you want to come to mine, you can come to mine. But if you're single, you're going to feel weird in my class. I'm just telling you, because it's going to be a couples class. That's the direction. That's the aim that we're going to do. That's the application that we're going to make. So I'm going to be like, husbands and wives, let's start off the lesson with a kiss. And you're going to be there by yourself, right? And you're going to be like, Can I kiss you? It's not going to work that way, all right? We'll have to enact some church discipline. That's just not going to work out good. So listen, here's my suggestion. My suggestion is find the age bracket that you fit in and start there. Find the age bracket that you fit in and start there. And just say, Lord, first of all, use me. Right? Use me to invite friends. Use me to invite neighbors. Use me to invite coworkers. Use me in that way. But second of all, Show me not just how I can be a help to those who are without, but show me how I can be a help to those that are within. Man, building strong, good relationships. Man, knowing the names of the kids behind you. Knowing the names of the other family across the aisle. And going to their soccer games and cheering them on. Man, being there for somebody when they just need a late night conversation. Man, getting coffee with somebody who's going through a season of depression. How does that happen in a church? Where does that happen? How do we meet those needs? How are we sensitive to those needs? Man, 11 o'clock, just a preaching service in here? No. We won't do it. It won't last. And it has to happen in, and it will happen in, the connection groups, okay? So I really want you to be a part of this. Our men are going to pass these out. Raphael sat down because I was talking for so long on that. So come on ahead. And if you don't have one of these already, get one. If you don't have one, get one. Slip your hand up. The men will get you one. If you don't have one, get one. And then I want you to fill out, and I want you to tear it off. Now watch this. This is so cool. Watch this. It's perforated. And yes, we paid extra for the perforation, okay? So when you perforate that, you just enjoy it. Because like that was like 2 cents extra, okay? So we just rip it off. Fill it out. Rip it off. And then I want you to turn it in. Miss Betty, are you going to be at the information table? She'll be at the welcome desk. That's where you can turn it in at. I want everybody to fill one out, and I want everybody to turn one in. I want everybody to fill it out, and I want everybody to turn one in. So here's the thing. Hear me on this. As you get one, as you start to fill it out, hear me on this. I don't want you to just be involved. I want you to pick up 2 or 3 of these on your way out tonight, and I want you to find the people who aren't here tonight and say, listen, connection groups, you've got to get a part of that. You've got to be a part of that. This is how we grow. This is how we learn. This is how we'll be strengthened individually as believers. This is how we'll be strengthened as a church. All right, so I want you to take a few of these, and I want you to help me. Listen, the goal is this. I told our guys this. The goal is enlist everyone. Sign up everyone for connection groups. And they looked at me, and they said, everybody in the church? I said, everybody. We're going to get everybody signed up. So don't think you can hide. We have your address. We know your email address. We've got your phone number, and we will come and visit you. And we will sign you up, right? That was an empty threat. I'm not really going to do that. Some of you get scared there for a second. All right, we're going to end the service that way. All right, let's